I'm going to be the next presenter and we'll try to make the transition from the nation's largest grape production region to the southeastern states, especially Alabama, where we're just making our first steps in grape production and trying to figure out what is going to work for us. So in this sense, we tested a couple of Pierce's disease-resistant hybrid bunch grapes and some of the University of California newest PD-resistant vinifera selections, and I'm going to share some of those results with you. First of all, why we would like to establish viticulture in our disease-conducive environment, challenging environment in the Southeast. Well, we know that the United States is the second largest grape producer worldwide, preceded only by China today. And also in 2010, the U.S. Wine Institute has established that the United States is the world's largest wine-consuming nation. In Alabama, the recent census survey established that we are encountering like 11% increase in acreage that is planted to grapes. In addition to that, we have a strong Alabama Wineries and Grape Growers Association that is pushing the limit, and they would like to grow not only well-adapted muscadine grapes, but also hybrid bunch grapes and even some vinifera grapes. So that is why we're doing this type of work, even though cultivation of grapes in southeastern United States is currently being pretty limited due to the continental climate with hot and humid summers and cold, dry winters, and also the presence of native pests and diseases like phylloxera and Pierce's disease. Because of Pierce's disease, of course, grapes that can currently be grown successfully in our region have to be PD-resistant or tolerant. And nowadays, cultivars selected from the native species and hybrids between native species that are called American grapes are being successfully grown, and also hybrids of native species with Vitis vinifera, which are called French-American hybrids, could be grown. Another kind of fact that we've learned recently, some might not believe in climate change and global warming, but those maps that were developed by a colleague from the North Carolina State University are showing the Pierce's disease risk zones based on number of days with minimum temperature, in this case for the first map, minimum temperature of minus 12.2 Celsius, for the historic period of 25 years that ends in 1997. And we see that this red isotherm kind of crosses through the southeastern states. All areas that are south and east of this red isotherm are considered to be under very high risk of Pierce's disease infection. So what happened with this isotherm when they checked the temperatures within the next 8-year period? They found out that the average temperatures for the period ending in 2005 has significantly increased and moved this red isotherm, you can see how far north. So now the entire state of Alabama and other parts of Southeast are being considered under very high risk of Pierce's disease. So we needed to address this problem and started looking at some options for establishing viticulture in this environment. So Blanc de Bois, Lake Emerald, and Stower were cultivars developed by the University of Florida breeding program that have resistance or tolerance to Pierce's disease. And I found some reports that say Wild Blanc was found to be a very highly productive cultivar for some areas in Missouri as well. And finally, I comprised a list of cultivars and checked the availability in different nurseries, and we came with this list of 10 cultivars of hybrid bunch grapes that are reported to be Pierce's disease resistant or tolerant. And we planted them in our St. Matthew Research and Extension Center in 2008 as a replicated study. We trained them in a single wire trellis system. And I would like to share that we monitored the vegetative growth and cropping potential and the fruit quality in an effort to determine the feasibility of growing some of those cultivars in our environment. And our 6-year data have shown significant differences in terms of the vegetative potential for all those cultivars, showing that Stover was the most vigorously growing cultivar for us, followed by Villard Blanc, Champanelle, Favorite, Black Spanish. And not surprisingly, we saw that Cintiana is a cultivar that is very slow to establish and grow. And you can see Cintiana is here just at the bottom of this chart. Looking at the cumulative yield data for the period of 2011-2014, we found out that Villard Blanc was our best performer throughout the years, and it was again followed by Favorite, Black Spanish, Cintiana, Stover, Ceval Blanc also produced well. One cultivar that was used as a standard cultivar for grapes in Alabama, this is Conquistador, it came with a pretty low yields for the entire period where we collected our data. So in comparison to Conquistador, most all other cultivars performed better. I wanted to show you this picture of the crop of Villard Blanc that we collected in one particular year, and I won't go back, but each of those bins contained the crop of one plant, one single vine only. We looked to determine the average cluster weight, and again we saw that Villard Blanc has produced the largest clusters for us, and it was followed by Ceval Blanc and Black Spanish. Cintiana also had clusters over 100 grams, but is considered producing smaller clusters. In terms of mean berry weight, we had Champanelle producing the largest berries of 4.8 grams on average. Blanc de Bois, Villard Blanc, Stover, and Ceval Blanc also produced berries that were over 2 grams on average. And then the rest of the cultivars had relatively small berries. And based on the data that we collected throughout those years, we consider that Villard Blanc, Cintiana, and Black Spanish hold the most promise for the environmental conditions of our state of Alabama, because all of them had very good to excellent vigor, excellent or very good productivity with very good fruit quality as well. So we were encouraged by those results in grape production. For the first time, such a comparative study was established recently in eastern United States. So we decided to take another step, and with the help of our industry, we contacted the breeder in California. At that time, they have come with the discovery of a single Pierce's disease resistant gene in Vitis arizonica, found in southern Mexico. And then those new populations of Pierce's disease resistant selections were developed using back crosses between arizonica and vinifera, and the first generations have been tested in the field, not only for their resistance to Pierce's disease, but also grown and tested for the quality of wine that is produced from them. So to make this short story short, finally in 2010 we were able to import three of those selections that are 87.5% vinifera and are Pierce's disease resistant to Alabama, and we started monitoring and evaluating what they can do for us. This is just a picture of how fast they have established in the next season, the season after planting, in the autumn of 2011. And they even produced some cluster of fruit, even though we tried to decluster them to provide them a better option to establish their root system. In terms of vine pruning weight, we noticed that the late ripening selection produced the least pruning weights, and our mid ripening selection was the most vigorously growing one. The early ripening had this moderate type of vine pruning weights. We tried to determine their season of maturity, and as you can see from this chart, each season they were harvested at different timings, but they always followed one and the same tendency, like 502-10, which is an early ripening one, always ripened first, and our late ripening selection 501-12 always ripened late in the season. In terms of total yield, we were surprised to see that those young plants produced yield that was comparable to the optimal yield expected from vinifera plants. And each of those columns represent a different year of yield for the three selections. You can see that in 2012 we had problems saving our early ripening selections crop from the birds, and that's why this number is pretty low here. But for the mid-season and late-season selections, you can see that this is 4.5 kilograms per vine. That is right at the optimum for vinifera production, and this is excessively high crop. The next season we had a very similar picture, and the last season in 2014 we have experienced pretty cold and wet spring and summer seasons, and there was miscommunication with the superintendent at the station. They missed to apply a single spray, and then we got a very severe powdery mildew infection. So the crop of the mid and late season selections was pretty much reduced. In terms of total number of clusters per vine that would help us to determine the productivity of those grapes, we saw similar tendencies, kind of following the total yield, which is to be expected, and the very late ripening selection always had the highest number of clusters per vine, and except 2014, of course, which tells us that we need to apply different pruning methods for each of those selections in the future to maintain the optimal crop load. In terms of the mean cluster weight, again, those plants produce different size of clusters throughout the seasons, but it looks like the very early selection is going to produce the largest clusters in general. And we also checked to determine what are the mean berry weight of those selections and the sugars that could be accumulated. We were a little concerned that if the rains kind of come at the time of harvesting, those grapes might not accumulate sufficient sugars. And we can see this to some extent for our very early ripening selection, but for our very late ripening selection, 501-12, we are seeing high sugar accumulation as well. To summarize those characteristics, our very early ripening selection has the lowest pruning weights but very good yields and large clusters, as you can see on the picture. And then the mid-season selection is vigorously growing with very good productivity. It has the largest berries and, is, as you can see, those very dense clusters that might pose some problem. But so far, if we apply our management program, everything goes okay. And our very late ripening selection has the highest number of clusters per vine with highest yield and provides the sweetest berries. We were able to produce wine in our commercial wineries in Alabama, and then those wines were evaluated and compared with other wines produced in Alabama and some California grapes as well, grape wines. And they have received an excellent evaluations. With the data that I reported and what we see in the field, we checked them for Xylella fastidiosa, each of those plants in 2012. We didn't find any infection. So far this season, they're looking pretty healthy and pretty happy in the field. And so we think that based on those two groups of grapes, maybe the viticulture has some future in our region of Alabama in southeastern United States. Furthermore, even though those selections from California are not released cultivars yet, our growers communicated with the breeder and he certified them to grow up to 1,000 selections from each of those varieties. And those are two growers, so 2,000 of each selections will be grown in our state, so we will see the results in a larger scale and gain probably more confidence in what we are doing. I think that's my last slide. So I don't think, just a short question.
So in the first half of your talk, you described the results with several varieties I did not think were associated with Pierce's disease resistance. Like
they are, all of them are, that's why they were in, they were tested. In the literature they are, and so far we haven't seen, we don't experience any plant loss due to Pierce's disease.
And is there evidence of Xylella in those vines?
We checked them in 2012 with those grapes and no infection was found. But we monitor, and we, if we see symptoms, we send samples to our lab to check.
Okay.